close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined, as always, by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off this week, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. We're back this week after a short break for Christmas and New Year's, and we're going to kick things off on the Star Sport Podcast this year by looking back and counting down the top 10 West Cork sporting moments from 2020. From West Cork's influence on Munster rugby to Enniskeen's Camogie glory and everything in between, 2020, despite its challenges, was a great year for West Cork sport. We're also going to chat at length to outgoing Cork County Board Chairperson Tracy Kennedy. Kennedy's three-year term as the first female chairperson of Cork GAA concluded earlier this month, and she spoke to Kieran about her experiences in the role. But Kieran, before we hear from Tracy, how are you? How was your own Christmas? Did you enjoy the New Year's festivities, or like everyone else, were you just having a quiet one, locked up in your house, trying to stay safe?
It was a quiet Christmas, Jack, but it was a good Christmas. I was surrounded by boxes of heroes, roses and celebrations and plenty of movies. So I think my big achievement is I watched 8 Harry Potters over the Christmas period. It was always on my to-do list. It's how sad I am at this stage of my life that I wanted to watch
Harry Potter. When I saw you tweeted that out last week or maybe the week before, and my first thought was, isn't it amazing that a 15-year-old is the editor of a regional newspaper in West Cork? But you aren't 15, are you?
No, I just turned 21 there last April, so just a small bit over 15. But it was always on my to-do list out of interest more than anything else, and it became a war of attrition right at the end. I was so far into it at one stage, I said, I can't stop now. I may as well just power on, put the shoulder to the wheel and watch the last three. So took a lot of late nights, and I got there in the end. And was it worth it, Jack? No, it wasn't worth it. But at least it's done now. Box ticked. Move on.
Well, tell me then, does it get progressively better, progressively worse? Does it peak in the middle? Is there a plateau and it just stays going there from like the second or third one on? Or how would you kind of rate? What's the bell chart?
Well, they're all kind of interlinked. So kind of it's one big long story. And there's 8 of them there and they're all over 2 hours. So I was working out. It was around 18 to 19 hours of my life that I lost over Christmas watching Harry Potter. And it was grand. It was grand. I actually preferred the early ones. The early ones were the better ones when they were very young. I can see why kids like it, but as a 21 plus, no, I won't be revisiting Harry Potter. But like I said, job done, box ticked.
Yeah, an unusual box to want to tick at your time
of
life.
I'm an unusual character, Jack. You know that by now.
I certainly do. And it's just interesting to hear you say like 18 hours of your life, so almost a full day, and the overall reaction is grand. So I kind of feel for you. I kind of gave up after the first one, I think, way back when. My sisters were obsessed with it, but I never got on board, and I don't think I'm going to be spending 18 hours of my life catching up. But congratulations, fair play. Myself and all the team at the Southern Star are very proud of you. But Kieran, on to the more serious business now, and you had the chance to catch up with outgoing Cork County Board Chairperson Tracy Kennedy. Now, this interview was recorded before Christmas, so just to give readers that, our listeners that, in case there are any references to Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year between yourself and Tracy. But how was she, and what are your overall feelings about her after she served her three-year term?
Yeah, it was a good chat with Tracy, Jack. We spoke the Monday before Christmas, so it was just after her tenure as County Board Chairperson had finished the previous Thursday. Mark Sheehan has taken over now as the new County Board Chairperson. So it's Tracy Kennedy. She was a chairperson in a very, very tough time for Cork GAA, and she talks about that at length here in the conversation coming up. But I've always had the greatest respect for her because I think she did a really good job. I suppose, in the one point, Jack, she was the first female chairperson of the county board. So that's really important as well. She broke down a barrier there. but like she says herself, and she said in her her outgoing speech at convention, she's disappointed that there's not more women involved in the GA, and that is an issue that needs to be tackled in the years ahead. But as a chairperson, she was great to deal with. She really was. I think she was a great ambassador for Cork GA over the last 9 years, because she was PRO and vice chairperson before she was chairperson. And one thing sticks in my mind is, I think it was 2 years ago, where she spent a couple of days down in Beara. Beara, as we all know, it's kind of the westerly edge of Cork GA. And sometimes it's the forgotten part of Cork when it comes to Cork GA. But Tracy spent a couple of days down there, visiting every club, getting to know the people, getting to see their problems firsthand. And there was a launch there in outside Castletown Beara one night, and I was there as well. And you could see the appreciation that the Beara people had for Tracy Kennedy coming down and spending some time amongst them and getting to see the challenges that they faced. And that always stuck in my mind, because she took that time to go meet the people of Beara and just to learn about their difficulties and challenges and what they needed to improve and so on. So I think her tenure would be looked on quite favourably, I think, even though it was such a tough time for Cork GA. But the way I look at it, Jack, is for a long time, I think there's been a bit of mistrust between the people on the ground and the county board. There's been that kind of that gap in between them. But with the likes of Tracy, I think she's helped mend the bridge and mend the relationship between the people in the grassroots of Cork GA and the people sitting the powers that be. So she served her time really, really well. So as you can hear from this conversation, I think she's glad now, to be honest, that her tenure is done. She served her county well, and she's looking forward to her own, I suppose, challenges in the years ahead, because she's a principal of a school as well. So she's quite a busy woman, Jack. Delighted to be joined in the podcast now by Tracy Kennedy, the former chairperson of the Cork County Board. How does that feel, Tracy? Former chairperson.
Yeah, I was doing some photos at school on Friday with two of our pupils who have been recently selected for development squads, and I was putting that in our Twitter, former RTA chairperson and principal. So yeah, take a bit of getting used to, I'm sure, but I suppose it's not something sudden. You know, I knew it was coming. You know, I knew there was only 3 years in the role, and obviously I think the past year sort of prepared me a bit more for life after GA, because of the fact that, you know, everything changed so much, you know, even in terms of the amount of travel I would have been doing, the amount of weekends I'd been spending in my car, the amount of events I'd be going to, like all of those things were largely gone for the first part of the year. And even when it came to going to matches later in the year, that even that was very limited. So yeah, I think COVID has probably prepared me a little bit better maybe for the end of my term than it might have been otherwise.
Your 3 years just seem to have zipped by. It only seems like yesterday that you became the first female chairperson of the Cork County Board. There was so much packed into those 3 years, Tracy. There was highs, there was lows, there was everything. When you look, have you had a chance in those 3 years to kind of step outside that bubble for a second and go, Jesus, a lot has happened or is happening?
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, as they say, but I wouldn't say it was fun a lot of the time. There would have been moments during the time when I would have been really struck by the privileges of the role. You know, there's no doubt about that. There are moments that hit you, say being at the All-Ireland Minor football final last year now in Croke Park and all that went with that. Yeah, and you do, like, I would have kind of stepped back and said, wow, you know, how lucky am I to get to experience this at such close quarters and all of that. And that's an immense privilege. I suppose it's easier to step back from the nice things and realize the privileges you've had. When you're in the middle of the tougher times, it can be a little bit harder to see beyond that and to realize that you will get through it, you will get out of it, and Cork will get out of it. So easier maybe to enjoy obviously the good times and to step outside those ones and see what you're really getting to be part of.
Like, when you look back at it now, there was some incredible highs there. You mentioned the minor final last year. The under-20 final in Portlaoise last year was an amazing game to be at. Even the Cork-Kerry game a couple of weeks back was quite a sensational end. Like, the drama in those last couple of seconds were probably, I think, it was the best finish of any game this season. And, like, there's so many high points on the pitch, wasn't there? Kind of, I know the teams aren't where we want them to be right now, but it's pointed in the right direction, I think.
I think so too. I mean, I suppose there weren't that many highlights, but those that there were absolute wow moments. I think the under 20 final actually was probably the most enjoyable, because for the last 10 minutes or so, we knew we had it won. You know, Kevin O'Donovan, the CEO, and myself were at sort of the ends of two rows opposite each other in the stand. And I just kind of looked across at him with a few minutes to go, and I'm like, we're actually going to win this, you know, and we knew we were. And so you could enjoy that. And particularly after the start of that game, you know, so that was really enjoyable. So I was talking to somebody recently, you know, saying, are you looking forward to a game? And I haven't looked forward to a game in years because they're just torture. And, you know, you can't enjoy it till it's over. And even like the Cork Kerry game recently, which was absolutely amazing, but still like it was only amazing in the last, you know, 20 seconds up to that, it was just absolutely nail-biting. And obviously the same with the minor footballers last year. I was packing up my bag to go at the end of normal time, thinking it was all over. So, you know, those games, obviously the highs afterwards are absolutely amazing, but, you know, probably the most enjoyable was the under 20, all right, because we knew that was coming. Yeah, and I've had some great... some great days maybe that people wouldn't know about that are lower key, you know, like I would have attended, say, Tony Forrestal tournaments, Cork under-14s, played in the last few years and been there when they had won that those tournaments out and things like that. And they're actually great, really enjoyable days too, and people aren't aware of them at all. And then, or less aware of them, I suppose. And then for me, I think personal highlights would have always included my club visits. You know, you get to go to clubs for lots of events as chairperson. I would have been to various official openings. And I suppose there are a couple of places, I hope I'm not forgetting anybody now, but St. Vincent's and Whitechurch stick out in my mind because I did official openings there and my name is on the plaque, you know, for commemorating those. And, you know, that's an absolutely huge honour, obviously, for anyone. And, you know, really, it was really exciting for me to see those things. And again, those are low-key things that a lot of people don't know about. I went to Beira there a couple of years ago during the summer and visited the six clubs over a weekend. And again, those experiences were just wonderful, you know, to see parts of the county that are very far from my own home. I think a lot of people outside Cork don't realise, you know, that, you know, I could drive for 100 miles and still be in my own county. So, you know, those experiences and the welcome that you get from clubs is absolutely always amazing. And to meet such wonderful people, like I think people like Robard Dwyer, who I met in Beira, the late president of Beira, Robard from Oran, and how people like that touch your life. And those are really special experiences and maybe ones that, you know, people aren't as aware of as they are the big days.
When you're in Beira at that time, it was really appreciated by the Beira board and all the clubs down there. Like you said, you spent a weekend down there and you mentioned there about going to all the other clubs, Tracy. I suppose from the outside looking in, we don't realise the amount of work that you and the other board members put in, because we only see a certain amount of it. But it's like you have a full-time job as principal at Cardinified Community College. And then on top of that, you were county board chairperson for 3 years. And before that, you were vice chair and PRO. How was there enough hours in the day and in the week for Tracy Kennedy to live her life when you've all that going on?
Well, I met the legendary Liz Howard one day in Thurles. People will be aware of Liz. She was actually the first ever female county board officer way back. And, you know, you appeared on the Sunday game and things like that long before women ever did. A real trailblazer, Liz. And I said to her one day, I said, I've no life, you know, which is true. I think I was PRO at the time and it only got worse after that. And she said to me, no, she said, you have a GA life. And that was so true. But it reality was that it was my entire life between work and the GA. I had two full-time jobs and that took up all the hours in the day. And, you know, you mentioned there the workload and the intensity. I didn't even realise myself until I became chairperson. And, you know, having been vice chair and been PRO and seen the chairs before me operate, you know, I still didn't quite comprehend the intensity of the role until I stepped into it myself. And, you know, the sheer number of constant emails. And I think the one thing that struck me early on was, you know, just how big an entity Cork GAA is. And I don't just mean that in terms of the physical size of the county and the fact that the number of clubs we have and all that, but there are just so many different stakeholders and sectors, and, you know, they all have claims on your attention as chairperson, whether it's the schools, you know, primary schools, post-primary schools, whether it's the clubs, the divisions, the county itself, the inter-county teams, you know, Rebel Oaks, so many other stakeholders. And It's just, you know, very, very intense. So, yeah, like, you know, it's a 3-year term and that's what you sign up for. But yeah, it would have taken over quite a lot of my life over the 3 years. And again, I suppose COVID had an impact. Again, that slowed things down a bit this year and maybe coincided with me for a time in my life, say, where I have a niece and nephew now that I didn't have when I started in the role, and they live abroad, but I haven't met my niece yet, but she was only born in October, but my nephew is nearly 2 and they were home in the summer, and I was actually really glad to have a little bit of a release from the intensity of the GA journey, to have time to spend, you know, with my nephew and minding him and my family and so on. And, you know, my friends, I do joke, but I only half mean it. I'd say like half the reason they're still my friends is they were living on the hope of All-Ireland tickets or things like that. So yeah, like my life has been really all about work and the GAA for the last number of years.
Like we were saying there, Tracy, like you've packed an awful lot into your, even your 3 years as county board chairperson. Was there any moments or times during that where you were saying, oh, sad this, I just need to step outside the bubble for a while?
There were many times. I definitely asked myself many times what I had got into. And I would certainly say that while I don't regret it for a minute, because my God, the privilege I've had, like I don't regret it for a minute. And it has helped me so much to develop as a person and to, you know, to develop skills that I wouldn't have had otherwise. I'm certain that I might not have had the journey in my professional career without the skills that I learned in my GA career. So like it has been a huge value to me, but I think if I had my time over again, I would have stopped after PRO and said goodbye to it at that stage. But you know, there were some really tough times during those 3 years. I wouldn't wish them on anybody. And I think, you know, look, different personalities and so on as well. My personality is such that I always want to try and fix things, and I always feel, you know, in some way responsible. So there were things there that I just really struggled with. I mean, I've said it, the stadium was one that I struggled a lot with because of the fact that I just didn't feel I had the skill set to deal with the scale of the challenges. But then I was very lucky, and I have been very lucky with the people around me all throughout my GA journey. And when you had, say, people of the calibre locally of Michael O'Flynn and John Mullins on the stadium board, and also the leadership shown by Croke Park, you know, particularly the Utron, John Horan, in steering us through those really, really troubled waters, I was very lucky. But I think, yeah, if anything could have made me walk away during the time, it probably would have been the stadium, because of the fact that I just felt it challenged the skill set I had to deal with that. But again, as I say, you know, the pitch, we'll say the failure of the pitch as well, you know, was a really tough time related to the stadium. But again, people stepped in, like we had people like John Murphy of Goldcroft who stepped up to the plate there, you know, in terms of helping us with those things. And, you know, I think the stadium now is out the other side of those issues as well. Obviously, it's going to be challenging for a while. COVID isn't helping. But I think that the stadium is on the right track now as well. And I think we'll, you know, enjoy success over the next number of years. And of course, it'll be a great asset to Cork for years and years to come, long after the challenges of today are a memory, you know.
I think you're touching a great point there. That Páirc Uí Chaoimh, it's a fantastic asset. It's a 100 million euro asset, and it's here for years and years to come. So there have been very, very rocky waters. It's probably not finished just yet, but it's looking a lot more positive now. Like you mentioned, the pitch there is in supreme condition at the moment. Like the games it's held this year, it's a credit to everyone involved. It's probably the best pitch in the country, and the players I've spoken to who played in it, they all think that. And the stadium itself and the pitch. So like I said with the football and hurling teams earlier, it's pointed in the right direction again, Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Well, we certainly hope so. And I think there are the people that are involved, you know, and obviously Mark, the incoming chairman, and his team, you know, are well placed, and they have the right people, and they are the right people to lead the stadium forward into the future. I think it will be a fantastic centre in a few years' time for both our games and for other ancillary events. And there are some little tweaks planned to the layout of the stadium that will make it more accessible for all kinds of events. And I think, you know, apart from the games, which obviously are the highlight, and, you know, one of the things that I'm so happy about too is that our Camogie ladies football teams now regularly play in the stadium as well. So, you know, it will be a home for all our Cork teams in time to come. But as well as that, and as anyone who's attended, say, concerts, for example, in the stadium will know, you know, it's a brilliant venue as well, and I think it has huge potential. So I obviously we're not completely out of the woods with it yet, and we are very lucky with the level of support we received from Crook Park in relation to the stadium. But I think the One Cork project, which was recently launched, you know, one of the strands of the One Cork project is, you know, in terms of fundraising for the stadium. And I think all of that will ensure the success of it in the future as an enterprise, as well as just as well as a sporting venue. And you mentioned the pitch, like, and it is, I suppose it'll be a while before another chairperson walks on it in pointy high heels, but I did that this winter and did not sink. You know, it's really in, I mean, don't tell John Murphy that or I'll be well, he can't say anything. No, I can't be sacked. But no, it is really in immense condition. It's just beautiful, which is what it should be, because the pitch is at the heart of everything we do. You know, our games are the centre of it all. So having the pitch right, I think, means so much to people. And I think, in fairness, while we shipped a lot of criticism when it went wrong, people did and have acknowledged as well the fact that it is now right. And I appreciate that too.
You mentioned there about the Cork ladies and footballers and the Camogie teams playing at Park of Cueve, which was so important as well. And when you took over as chairperson, that was one of the goals you set out. You wanted that to happen, which was brilliant to see. And as the first female chairperson of the county board, like, it's an incredible honour for you. And I noticed there in your address to convention on last weekend, you were, I suppose, a bit disappointed in the fact, Tracy, that there's no female presence now in the county board executive. Would you have liked to have seen more women come through in various roles?
Yes, and to be honest, I do feel that I failed in some way by not having that, I suppose, by not having somebody there after me. I remember I said at my election speech, that there's no point in being the first one if you're the only one. And I don't want to be the only one. And I really hope that it won't be too long more before there is somebody else coming after me. I had actually planned, I had some work planned this year in relation to encouraging more women. Like, we had actually set up a seminar in all for April, where I was going to bring in some of the existing female club officers and just discuss with them, you know, how paths might be found for some of those to come forward. The divisional area is a good place to start, and there are some women involved at divisional level in a few different divisions, which is great, you know. And I think, like, to make the step forward first at divisional level and then on to county level, as I did myself, you know, I think it is important that that does happen. And I know it's an area I have an interest in, obviously, but, you know, there would be evidence to suggest that women are slower to come forward, to volunteer themselves or to come forward for things. And I certainly wouldn't be where I was if I hadn't been asked the first day by someone in my club. You know, I still joke my neighbours, Liam Foley and Dominic Fogarty, that it was their fault. They were the outgoing juvenile chair and secretary at the time, and they asked me to step into the role of juvenile secretary. I would have never thought of it for myself. And then someone else asked me to step into the role of adult secretary and so on. It was suggested, I was encouraged, and I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for that. So I really hope that our clubs can take that, you know, into consideration when they are selecting people, that you might need to ask, instead of saying, is there anyone who will do such and such a thing, you know, that you might need to specifically target women, because the balance is good for everybody. And we can see that, you know, there are a number of clubs now who have female chairs, which is a relatively recent development, but it's great to see, you know. And I know there's a club here division that currently has, you know, the three senior officers, chair, secretary and treasurer are female, and there have been previous clubs who've had that as well. So that's great to see, and there are amazing women working at club level. I mean, some of these women would be far better than I was and far better equipped in their professional lives and so on to take on these roles. But obviously it's harder, you know, when you are kind of in the minority, it's obviously a little bit harder to come forward. But I do have to say that my own experiences were very positive. You know, I never ran into a problem that I could say definitely stemmed from the fact that I was female. You know, that is the reality of it. And I never was never made to feel uncomfortable by any fellow officer or any club delegate or anybody like that along the way. So, like, I would say to women, if you are asked, do take the opportunity. And, you know, don't necessarily wait to be asked either. But we all know that's easier said than done. And if somebody does approach you, do take the chance, because, you know, you never know where it could lead.
You mentioned there there's a couple of female chair people in Wicarbury alone. I think you've Mary Maybury with Donnies, and you've Angela Donovan with Argadine Rangers. So, like, it is getting better, but like you said, there's a long way to go, really. Like, there is a huge gender imbalance still in the GAA.
There is, and again, that's a concern I have also, because you know, I would love to see an integrated body, obviously, where you would have Bogey Ladies Football and the men's games under the one governing body. I think that would be a better situation for everybody. But that doesn't address the issue of the lack of female involvement in the GA side of the house. And it's not enough just to say, oh, the women are over here with women's games. You know, there needs to be balance everywhere. And there are lots of men involved at administrative level in the women's games. And say refereeing, there are lots of men refereeing in the women's games. There are lots of men coaching in the women's games. That is not the case in the men's games. So the balance is important all across the association. And, you know, there's a long way to go to address that. I mean, I'm in Central Council now, and I hope I'm not leaving anybody out. I think there are three Central Council delegates that are female, and two of those are from overseas. So Mary Trace Dockery from Europe and Joan Henshey from New York are overseas, but they are delegates. I think I'm the only female delegate on the island of Ireland at the moment, and that's the governing body, you know. Now obviously Camogie and Ladies Football are represented on it, but that's slightly different. So it is something I think the GA as an association needs to look at. And it's not just women. I mean, we're not a diverse organisation. That is the reality of it, you know. We don't see enough representation of other minority groups that are part of our Irish community in the GA. And I think, you know, we do think of ourselves as a community organisation, and we are, but we also need to say, are we serving all the members of our community? And it's about not missing out on the opportunities, because if we sideline people, then we're missing out on the opportunity to have those contributions to add to our association. And it's really important, I think, that we do adapt to the fact that we live in a more diverse world now. But like as with gender balance, there's a long way to go in a lot of areas of our society.
When you eventually look back on your term as chairperson, how will you view it? Because I'm thinking of the late John Corcoran, and he always considered himself as a keeper of the flame. And it always stuck in my head. And he always said to me that his job was to kind of take the flame and hand it on to the next generation, but make sure it's in a better position. And I think John Corcoran always did that, whatever he did. When you're looking back in your term now, when you've handed the flame over to Mark Sheehan, do you feel that Cork GAA is in a stronger position than it was 3 years ago?
I think that, you know, our contributions can't really be judged by ourselves, you know, because that is only something that can be judged by future generations. You know, if Cork are successful in the next 10 years, then I would like to think that I played some role in doing some small thing that led to that. It's never going to be what I did made this happen. But each of us makes a contribution. That's the reality of us in a lot of different ways. I remember Geraldine, I think, when he was a chairperson saying, you know, I'm just the same as the rest of you. He said, I just have a slightly different job for these 3 years. And I think that's, you know, from the person cutting the grass in the local GA pitch all the way up to the GA president, we're all only cogs in the huge machine that is the GA. So what my contribution is, I think it'll be only something that can be judged in future years. So, for example, I like to think that we made a positive change to the club championships this year. That's not something I did. I oversaw it. I put in place the group that brought it in. But the clubs made that decision. The aim of that decision was to have more successful or more competitive club championships that would produce stronger, that would lead to stronger competition and more competitive players and teams, we'll say, going on into interprovincial club championships and so on, and all the way up to the Cork team. If that happens over the next few years, then we'll have been proved to be right in our decision. But again, it was something that we did as a body, as opposed to something that I did as an individual. So as I say, it's hard to say what the contribution will be. I would like to think that I had some hand in making Cork GAA maybe a more open place. That people tell me that I did, but only other people again can judge that. It's something I'd like to think that I did. Again, I feel that one of the things I wanted to do was to make Cork football central, I suppose, to my position, because I know from my discussions with the football community that they often felt they were the second-class citizens, and I was absolutely determined that that wouldn't happen under my watch. And I definitely don't think it did. You know, I certainly, like, I went to every football match for the 3 years. You know, I even when the Cork Irish were playing, I went with the footballers. That would have been rare enough in the traditions. But whether that has any positive effect on Cork football is something that I can't say, or nobody can say at this point in time. It's only something that we'll be able to judge in hindsight. So it's really hard to say what anybody's legacy will be, you know, but I hope, because we all come into these roles wanting to make a positive difference. Why else would you give up your life, you know, for the time that you're involved? And, you know, I did give up my life, if you like, to it. So I hope I had a positive impact. But it's other people will have to say that, to decide that.
You said there that you've given up your life, and you've given so much to Cork GAA over the years, Tracy. Go back to when you were asked to be PRO. So if you knew now what you knew then, and if someone asked you to go for the position of Cork PRO, knowing that you would end up as the chairperson and what followed, what would you say to that person?
Well, I loved the role of PRO. So that was my favourite role. I loved, and I think that's the problem in some ways. I enjoyed that role so much, even though it was really intense and all-consuming. But you have a lot of agency in that role. So, like, you were very much responsible for your particular brief, and I enjoyed that, and I loved all the aspects of it. And I met great people like yourself and so many other, you know, journalists and so on. And we had great fun with our social media and our website and things like that, which I enjoyed. Great relationships with our team managers and players and so on. I was really lucky, I think, in my term. So I loved it. So when the end of the 3 years came, we have a rule in Cork which states you can't move into any other officer role except vice chair. I don't think I would have wanted any other officer role anyway. In an ideal world, I'd just stayed as PRO. So my only option to stay involved was to go for vice chair. And again, vice chair was very much about fixtures, which is something that I'd also have been very interested in. Like, I started going to the East Cork Board, making fixtures for my club. And it's an area, again, that I had interest in. So I said I'd give it a shot. And I was lucky enough to be elected. The club of Cork put their faith in me. And I loved that. I enjoyed that role because of the fixture-making element of it, which was something that was a great interest to me. But yeah, if when I look back, I might be a saner person with less grey hairs or fewer grey hairs now if I had stopped after PRO. But no, you know, I don't regret it. I couldn't regret it, even though it was intense and it was really, really difficult at times. But it was also the greatest privilege that anyone involved in the GAA, other than a player, can have. You know, being a county board officer is the administrator's opportunity to play for Cork. You know, that's our contribution. That's our way of playing for our county. And like, what player doesn't want to be on their county team? And so being chair of your county is the ultimate honour that any GAA administrator can have.
Look at the 2021. So, Tracy, I presume your diary is still very, very packed and very, very full, but it's not as busy as it would have been these past couple of years. What's the plan for you for 2021? Have you any hobbies you want to take up, any adventures you want to go off on, any books you want to write, anything perking your interest?
Well, I suppose COVID has sort of put any kind of plans on hold. I just want to do, I think, normal things. So for the last 9 years, and even long before that, because previously I was secretary of my club, which also involved a lot of commitments, all of my plans would have been around matches. And, you know, no, I can't go on a 2 week holiday because there'd definitely be a match in the middle of it, you know, and my poor friends got sick of me mooning over not being at a match. So they just said, stay at home. So, you know, I would like to travel a little bit. I'd obviously love to spend more time with my niece and nephew and my godchildren and my friends and things like that. And, you know, my mother, she has one daughter in Dubai and the other one she never sees. So, like, I owe a lot to my family and friends, and it's nice to spend a bit of time with them. And also to my job. I mean, I've only been in my role as principal for just over a year. So look at the year that was. So I want also to have my full energy to give to that as well. You know, my hobbies are well known. I love reading, and to have a bit of time to read a bit more would be great. Longer term, I wouldn't mind going back to do a bit more study. That's one of the things that I would like to do. And sure, you know, who knows where the road will take you. I have had very little time to think about my future life, but I hope that I'll enjoy a bit of good health and just get to do normal things. You know, it'll be strange.
And if you could give Mark Sheehan, the new chairman, one piece of advice, not that he needs any advice, he's a very, very able man. What would your advice be to Mark? If you could just depart one word of wisdom or one piece of wisdom from your term in charge to Mark.
Whoa, I don't know. That's a hard one. So, yeah, as you said, like, Mark is a very capable person. And I suppose the thing about GAA administrators, because we're volunteers, each of us brings a very different a very different way of doing things to the role, because we all bring our own personal skills. I suppose the only thing I could say to him is, don't take the criticism personally if you get it. You know, that's probably the best advice I could give. But I don't think he will either, and I don't think he'll draw any criticism. I think he'd be well able to deal with the situation.
That's actually, before I let you go, Tracy, that's actually a great point there, because again, us on the outside, we don't see the criticism that you get. Like, social media can be take on a life of its own sometimes. What's the best advice for people there? Just ignore it?
Yeah, I suppose that's what I would have had to learn to do myself. And as I said earlier, I do tend to feel responsible for everything. So, you know, when things go wrong, I feel it's my fault too. And it doesn't kind of help when I have people on Twitter shouting that at me also. And I suppose the hardest thing for me in relation to social media has been the temptation to engage sometimes. And, you know, we all know there are people out there who are really just saying things to get you to engage. And you have to remember, I suppose, that there's a dignity to the role of chairperson, and that you have to step back. And so I would have, and I found that difficult. There were times when I had to sit on my hands or lock my phone in another room or things like that to stop myself responding. And also, when you see, it's not particularly personal criticism of me, like mute and block are brilliant buttons on social media, and I would have used them copiously because I feel I'm a volunteer, so like I don't have to take that kind of thing. But when I see the criticism of other volunteers, you know, particular players and managers, and whatever commitment I gave, like when you look at what they give, you know, it is absolutely phenomenal. I think sometimes I would have got criticism from people who don't realise I'm a volunteer. They actually think this is my job. Come across that a fair bit. But when you see players and managers who are genuine volunteers giving so much of their time and being criticized personally, that really used to annoy me. I think I got better at handling it over the years. I suppose I had to. And even things like, and you know, no, this is no judgment on journalists who do a brilliant job and who have to, but you know, I learned to stay away from the newspapers after a Cork game, or you know, to pull back a little bit from them when there was a disaster and things like that, because it just was having a negative impact on my own mental health, and you can't let that happen either.
I used to pick up the Southern Star religiously every Thursday, so I'll forgive you on that one, Tracy.
But well, to be fair, Kieran, the Southern Star does absolutely immense coverage of sport. I since I moved to working in Cove, I can actually buy it there. It's on sale in Cove, so it's a brilliant publication, and you do a great job. Absolutely fantastic.
No, Tracy, I was going to say before I let you go, thank you so much for all your help over the years. You've been an absolute privilege and a joy to deal with since I've been in the Southern Star, which is 8 or 9 years ago. It almost ties in with your time as PRO moving through the board. I've been in West Cork that long. So thank you so much for everything you've done for the Southern Star, and enjoy those evenings off next year. Enjoy those nights off away from meetings. Enjoy being on the terrace again as a Cork GA fan next year. So
thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Now, 2020 is a year most of us will be happy to see the back of, but it wasn't without its highlights from a West Cork sporting perspective. And Kieran, you've ranked your top 10 moments of the year, and we're going to run through them now. And the first one on the list, so number 10 by your ranking, is an unusual one, and one that could have never happened in any other year on record, but it's the best in the West. So let's go back to the first lockdown, when there was no live sport whatsoever, and here in the Star, yourself, myself, Ger McCarty, Brian McCarty, and Star readers started a search to crown West Cork's greatest sports person. So Kieran, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, this was an interesting idea we came up with back in the first lockdown, Jack, as you mentioned there. So we picked 16 of the greatest West Cork sports people. I think it was from the last 50 years, if I'm right. And what we did then, just to get a bit of interaction with our readers, because our readers were lost without live sport. There was no live sport whatsoever. So this was our way of, I suppose, filling that void in a very small bit. So we had 16 sports people. It started off with, on Twitter polls, two against each other, winner advances. So from 16 to 8 to 4, to 2 in the final, and then we crowned a winner. And it was really interesting. It was really good fun as well. It played out over, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks, Jack, and we had huge engagement and huge interaction with our readers. And the final then saw Phil Healy, Ireland's fastest woman, up against Keith Cronin, the four-time British rally champion from Kilkeel. So it was really good fun. And it was, like I said, huge engagement. And that final itself, it was played out over 24 hours on one weekend. And I think if you saw my phone, I say I charged my phone four times that Saturday because it was red hot when I was thousands and thousands of votes streaming in. And it was a testament to both Phil and to Keith Cronin that it was such a hotly contested final. And in the end, Keith Cronin came out on top by the narrowest of margins. I think it was 52% to 48%. So good fun, great winner. And I think it was a good way to get through the first lockdown.
Yeah, Keith Cronin's fans really rallied and he took the checkered flag. Now, number nine on the list is another unusual one that wouldn't have made any lists of this nature only in 2020. And that was when Castlehaven's need was greatest and their captain, Mark Collins, stood up to score the winning penalty in a penalty shootout in a county semi-final.
Because, again, of COVID and the way it had affected the sports landscape last year, there was penalty shootout at the end of extra time. In J games, if the games had to go that far, and the county premier senior football semi-final between Castlehaven and St Finbarr's needed penalties to separate the two teams, and it was Mark Collins, that ice cool Castlehaven man. We've had him on the podcast numerous times. He was the Haven captain, and he stood up twice in that penalty shootout. He scored Haven's first penalty to give them the lead in the shootout, but after five penalties each, Jack, there was no separating them, so it went into sudden death. And we know from soccer, from World Cups and European Championships over the years, the drama of a penalty shootout. And this played out up in Parky Ring on a cold and wet Sunday night. And I think it was October, if I'm right.
It was the night before they announced the second lockdown, if I recall.
Exactly, yeah. Because obviously, from the fact that this is in the top 10, it means Mark buried that penalty. Castlehaven won the penalty shootout. They got through to the county final, which has yet to be played. We don't know when it's going to be played. There's actually no room in the calendar for the next couple of months to play that game. So the 2020 Cork Premier Senior Football Final will have to be played at some point in 2021 before the new championship starts. We don't know when. But in terms of our sports review, Mark Collins' ice cool spot kick makes the number nine spot.
Number eight then is a man who's been making more headlines again in recent weeks, and that's Ina Shannon's Jack Crowley and his performances in the under 20 Six Nations at the end of January. So this was a time in our lives when we'd never heard the word social distancing, pandemics. Well, we've heard of pandemics, obviously, but lockdown, etc. And it was the impact that he made, Kieran.
You could be forgiven to thinking that the Scottish team were social distancing from Jack Crowley that night when they came to town to take on the Ireland under-20s, because he was immense that night. He scored two tries, but it was his solo try when he picked up the ball in his own 22 and ran the length of the field to score a sensational. It was a sensational try because I'll always remember Simon Zeebo tweeted, "Jack Crowley, wow." Just three words, and it summed it all up. And he was immense for Ireland in the under 26 nations at out half. He was one of Ireland's best players at Ireland. It's, trying to remember now back that as Ireland won that under 26 nations, they beat England as well. So he was immense, and he's really highly rated, Jack. He's inside the Munster Academy. And even just to begin, just gone, Jack Crowley made his Munster senior debut for when they lost away to Ulster. Came off the bench in the 67th minute and kicked the conversion after Darren Sweetham scored a late try. So, like I said, Jack Crowley, former Bendon Grammar student, a product of Bendon Rugby Club, really highly rated, really one to watch, and he's 100% deserving of his place in our list.
Now, one of the biggest disappointments for West Cork fans across the board in 2020 was missing out on the opportunity to see this lady in action at an Olympic Games. But that didn't stop Phil Healy making a massive impact in the minds of the Irish sporting public. And 2020 really was shaping up to be her year, Kieran.
Yeah, Phil Healy was bound for the Olympics last year. She was well on her way to qualify for her first Olympics, but obviously COVID struck and the games have been postponed until this summer. But that didn't stop filling her tracks at all, Jack. She still won three national titles in 2020 to take her total to 12 national senior titles, which is an incredible record. And it cements her place as the queen of Irish sprinting. There was also a national indoor 200-metre record in there last February, followed by her national 200-metre indoor win later that month. And then during the summer, she completed 100 and 200-metre double at the Outdoor Senior National Championships. So She's getting faster, she's getting quicker, she's getting stronger, and I think she'll be in great shape for this summer's Olympics, touch wood.
Another athlete now, so number 5 on our list of the top 10 West Cork sporting moments of 2020, and that's Glengariff athlete Dara McElhenney, who signed off.
Before we go to number 5, Jack, we should try number 6.
Oh, excellent point, Kieran. We'll come back to Dara McElhenney in a moment. So number 6, I'm just looking at the email you've sent me and you've forgot to put a space between 7 and 6. So I'm going to blame you for that one because I can only read what's on the teleprompter like Ron Burgundy. And number 6 is third time lucky, and it's the Enniskeen County Intermediate Camogie Champions who finally won the big one, Kieran.
That was huge for Enniskeen last year. And to be honest, even though it was such a turbulent year for sports, sport everywhere, there were still some amazing stories came out of 2020. And Enniskeen's County Intermediate Camogie success was definitely up there with it. This is a team that lasted 2017 and 2019 county finals to their neighbours, Newcestown. And it always reminded me sometimes of the story of the Donnies ladies footballers who had lost 3 county junior B finals in a row before they finally won in 2019. And in 2020, it was the year of Enniskeen to end their years of heartbreak, but they didn't make it easy for themselves. I'm thinking back to the county quarterfinal against Blackrock when they were 13 points down at one stage of the first half and they looked in serious trouble. But in fairness to them, they dug themselves out of it. They won that game. They got all the way to the county final against Bullock. I've always troubled counting their name for some reason. And that was a day when Orla Cronin, their Cork senior star, stood up and was counted. She was clear of the match. She scored 11 points. And Enniskeen won the county intermediate title. And the reward for that now, Jack, is they're going up into the senior ranks in 2021. And it's great for Carbery Camogie because that means this season, Courcy Rovers are obviously the reigning county senior champions. We now have Enniskeen who join Newcestown and also the Carbery senior camogie team. So that's 4 local teams in the county senior camogie championship. So that's one to look forward to in 2021.
Absolutely. And now back to number 5. And I'm not even going to try and reword the script. I'm going to repeat exactly what I said when I tried to do number 5 a little earlier on. And that's Glengariff athlete Dara McElhenney, who signed off his teenage years in some style, Kieran, in 2020.
I can't believe Dara McElhenney only turned 20 last November. He's been around for years and years and years. He was a West Cork junior sports star back in 2016. And he was, so that means when he won his first ever senior men's national title last summer, he was only 19 years of age. Like, he's been a teenage prodigy the whole way up, breaking records, setting records, bettering the performances of the likes of John Tracy and so on. So he really has been one to watch, and he will be one to watch over the next couple of years. And the reason he made the list here at number 5, like I just mentioned, he won his first senior men's national title when he brought home the 5,000 metres gold from the outdoor championships last August. And it was an incredible performance for a 19-year-old because he sat on the shoulder of John Travers, who was the reigning champion, much more experienced, with a far faster PB, but Dara sat on his shoulder for lap after lap after lap, and he waited for the final 200 metres before he made his move, kicked for home, and it was enough to see him pass the line with a bit of despair. But it was the discipline and the maturity that he showed to bide his time against such a seasoned pro, which kind of, I think it really turned a couple of heads. And like Dara said himself, it was a breakthrough moment for him, but he's not one to rest in his laurels either. He really wants to kick on this year. There's a lot more to come from Dara McElhenney. So I think over the next couple of years, we'll be seeing his name more regularly in the top 10 moments of the year, Jack.
Absolutely. And hopefully we can get him back on the podcast at some stage in the coming months, because the last time he was on, he was really inspirational and really kind of fired me up to get out running again. So yeah, let's get him back on maybe as soon as next week so we can start losing.
He's actually in Kenya at the moment. He was due to fly out, I think it was the 27th, to Kenya for a month of warm weather training, and there he did the same last year. So I'm all forward to get him back on. I've said before, he's one of my favourite sports people to interview. I think he gives such brilliant insight into athletics, and even in our recent sports review, which is people can still buy now, and actually this interview with Dara is online. He talks about the mental side of athletics and how he deals with nerves and so on. And again, it was absolutely brilliant insight. You know, he gives you, he opens the curtains to his life and his world, and he shows you in there, and he gives you a wee glimpse of who he is and what he's all about. So anyone listening to this podcast, hop onto the Star website now and find that Darren McElhinney interview. It's called Something Inside So Strong, because it really is a very good read.
Yeah, and it's up on our Facebook page there as well for anyone who can't find it on the website. Now, number four on our list is our second Camogie entry this year, and it's Good Things Come to Those Who Wait, Kieran. The Courcy Rovers senior Camogie side claiming county championship glory.
Yeah, and they claimed it for the very first time in the club's history, which made it so memorable and magical for Courcy Rovers. Like I said about Inneskeen a couple of minutes earlier, there were some superb sporting fairy tale stories in 2020, and this is definitely one of them. Courcy Rovers qualified for their first county senior final back in 2018 against Inniscarra, and they'd be the first to admit that nerves got to them that day. The trappings of a county senior final was all new to them. I think it was Karen Cahan, their captain, was telling me just a couple of weeks ago that while they were warming up for the 2018 final and going through drills on the field, the national anthem started and they were like, oh Christ, what's going on? What's happening here? Because it was all new to them. So 2 years later, 2020, the team stuck together. The young players like Fiona Keating, Saoirse McCarthy, Linda Collins, they're all getting better. They knew what they needed to do to win a county final. They got to the county final and they were sensational that day. They beat Inniscarra by 5-12 to 1-12, and deserving winner. So magical story for Courcy Rovers. One of the big stories of Cork GEA last year. And the hope now is that they can come back again this year and defend that title. And I think they'll be a hard team to knock off their perch in 2021, to be honest, Jack.
Absolutely. Now, number three on our list of the top 10 West Cork sporting moments of 2020 is a moment that's been building and building for the last number of years, and that's the growing West Cork influence on Munster rugby. And for anyone who even has a passing interest in provincial rugby or Munster rugby specifically, they'll have taken notice of what's been going on the last 18 months or so, because Munster rugby had been going through a tough period, Kieran, but now there's a bunch of lads from West Cork who seem to be reviving the province.
The rise of rugby in West Cork has been nothing short of phenomenal the last couple of years, to be fair. And I suppose go back to Darren Sweetnam back in 2012 when he signed his contract. He's a trailblazer, Jack. He's the fellow who showed that there's a pathway from West Cork to the Munster team. And that opened the door. And since then, so many more players have followed Darren Sweetnam's path to Munster. So, like, you're right, there's so many different moments that you... They'd actually fill a top 10 right in their own from the past 12 months. So this goes in as one moment on its own. And it's just it's the rise of West Cork rugby. And I think that was highlighted when there was a Guinness Pro 14 game against Cardiff Blues, when five West Cork men lined out for Munster that way. You had Darren Sweetnam from Dunmanway, Fionn Witchley from Bantry, John Hodnett from Askarbury, Gavin Coombs from Skibbereen, and then Fionn's younger brother Josh came on to make his Munster debut. And it was incredible to see five West Cork men playing on the same Munster team. So that was a really, really memorable occasion for West Cork rugby. But it's worth noting since then, the likes of Gavin Coombs is having the season of his life. Like, he's been a juggernaut for Munster this season. I mentioned there about Jack Crowley making his debut last weekend. Josh Witcherly has been absolutely brilliant for Munster since he made his debut in that game against the Cardiff Blues, and he was superb against Clermont Auvergne over in France before Christmas in the Champions Cup. That was the game where Munster, what, 18, 19 points down or more, and they came back for one of the most famous wins ever. And it's great to see so many West Cork men involved in it. And I've no doubt, Jack, this West Cork rugby story is going to grow and grow and grow over the next back at the high points of all of our, well, sorry, nine of our local rugby people who are with Munster. And that includes Laura Sheehan from Oran and Inya Breen from Skibbereen. So that's well worth checking out as well.
Absolutely. And that moment you obviously have included as one, but as you said, there could have been a top 10 of Munster or Munster Rugby West Cork moments of their own. But the next moment, number two, is, to my mind, undoubtedly the best singular moment in the truest sense of the word of the year, because it happened in the space of 5 seconds, 3 seconds, maybe you could even boil it down to 2 seconds. And that was Mark Keane's goal for Cork to beat Kerry in the Munster semi-final at Park Ecquive. It was undoubtedly the high point of Cork's season from a footballing perspective. And obviously what followed didn't quite live up to what happened in the semi-final. But for that 5 seconds, Cork football was back on top of the world.
That was an incredible moment to be at, and I was one of the lucky ones up in Park Ecquive, and that wet and windy and damp and miserable night when Kerry came to town. And Kerry were favourites coming up there. I think they're closing in on either 7 or 8 in a row in the Munster Senior Football Championship. They were expected to beat Cork, and Cork played really well that day, to be fair. Kerry did miss a couple of chances, but Cork didn't allow them to play either with the freedom. And it all meant that with seconds to go at the end of injury time, at the end of extra time, that Cork were just, I think they were 1 point down. So it set up kind of a tantalising, well, a huge, huge finish. And I just remember that move unfolding. And it all finished with Luke Connolly going for a shot from under the stand. He was obviously going for a point to level the game, but it was a wayward shot, fell into the open arms of Mark Keane, and the returning Wizard of Oz in one fluent move. The ball was in the back of the net, caught the ball, dropped it, right foot, bang. It was incredible because it was practically the last kick of the game, and Cork came from 1 point down to 2 points up to beat the old rivals Kerry for the first time in, I think, since 2012 in the Munster Senior Football Championship. So it was an absolutely magical moment. I know, Jack, that what happened after against Tipperary probably tainted the footballer season. Well, it did taint the footballer season because it was very, very disappointing. They weren't good enough at all against Tipperary. But I like to see that Mark Keane goal as a moment that stands on its own, as a singular moment that will stand the test of time, I think, in years to come, because you could see the reaction of Cork fans on social media that night. It was incredible. You put Titanic music to the goal, and there was 13, 14, 15, 16,000 views of that alone. It was a great moment for Cork GAA fans, a great night for Cork GAA, a great 2 weeks for Cork GAA fans before the Munster final against Tipperary. But definitely, I've been to a lot of sports events over the years, but to be there to see Mark Keane's goal and to hear the noise, it was an empty Park Ecquive, but you could hear the players celebrating on the pitch. The Cork journalists amongst me were all standing up. They were cheering. There was the video of Finney McCarthy, C103, going absolutely nuts, celebrating the goal. That went viral. It was just an absolutely magical moment. I think that will stand on its own as a magical moment.
Just to flag as well, we mentioned some of the pieces that are on the Southern Star website at the minute. There's a great piece where Kieran has essentially done an oral history of the moment. He spoke to Luke Connolly, Sean Meehan, and the goal scorer Mark Keane. So it's just to mark a moment in time, which is what it was. And that's on southernstar.ie/sport right now. It's also on our Facebook page. And I urge any Cork footballing supporter to get on and relive that moment with the three lads who were involved in the move. Because, as Kieran said, it may not have ended the way they wanted with the loss in the Munster final. But for those 5 minutes, 2 weeks after, there was Cork football was in dreamland, essentially. But let's move on then to the number one entry on our list. And I think this is the perfect entry for number one, considering all this team had been through together over the years. And that is the history makers, the West Cork ladies, who finally won the big one and beat Mourne Abbey in the Cork Senior Ladies Football County Final. Our own Brian McCarthy of the Southern Star was the manager, so it held an extra special place for us. But from a West Cork sporting perspective, Kieran, put it into context.
This was magical. This was history in the making. This West Cork senior football team were going for 5 years. I've said it before. I was at their first ever game back in, and they played North Cork in Ballyvourney. That was either 2015 or 2016, and to see that team grow and become good enough to challenge the mighty Mourne Abbey, who've dominated Cork ladies football for the last number of years, Munster champions, back-to-back All-Ireland champions, and West Cork in the finals in 2018 and 2019, West Cork lost both to Mourne Abbey. So when the teams faced off in the 2020 final, Hornaby were rightly favourites, but West Cork produced a sensational performance that night in, or that afternoon or evening in CIT last October, inspired by Libby Coppinger of St Columb's, who was in the form of her life, and an incredible 4-9 to 2-13 win for the West Cork divisional team. And it was a great win for ladies football in West Cork, because this divisional team takes in players from Beara all the way over to Valley Rovers, from Skibbereen to Dunmanway to Clonakilty and so on. And it means so much to all the players involved. And I think it likes Martina O'Brien, because Martina has been the goalkeeper with the West Cork team for the last number of years. And because Clonakilty won the County Intermediate Football Championship last year, they're going senior this year. So Martina will not be a part of the West Cork team in 2021. So for players like her, who've given so much to her division over the years, it was great to see her sign off on a high end. For Aoife Terry O'Sullivan to bring the cup back to Beara, back to Elihies, it was a brilliant moment. But it's just, it was history. It was the first time the West Cork senior divisional team have won the County Senior Championship. Like I said, I just think it's a huge boost for West Cork ladies football, because you've young girls right across the division now who can look up to the likes of Aoife Terry, Martino O'Brien, Melissa Duggan, all-star, Niamh Cotter, the Kylie twins. Jesus, we could be the day listing out the quality of ladies footballers in West Cork. But now young girls right across the division can see that these players became the best in the county by coming up through their clubs and playing with their division. And I think it's just a really, really special moment, and I think really deserving that it tops the charts.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, the top 10 West Cork sporting moments of 2020, and hopefully we'll have at least a handful of moments to rival those in 2021. We're going to take a quick break now, and coming up next, we're going to preview this week's Southern Star Sports section.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And before we wrap up this week, we're going to quickly take a look at what's to come in this week's Southern Star Sports section. And Kieran, obviously a lot of sport is yet to return, but there's still plenty of action in this Thursday's edition.
There's a load of reading in Thursday Star, Jack. My last word column is on Conor Horan at the moment. I suppose he's troubled, you could say, at Aston Villa. He's been frozen out, is the wrong word, but he hasn't played a competitive game since the end of November. He was on the bench all the way through December. I know Villa have the FA Cup this weekend against Liverpool, so he might get a run out there, and he needs minutes. He's only appeared in 5 games this season and started 3. So he turns 30 next month, February 2nd. So Conor Horan might have a decision to make quite soon, Jack, of what he needs to do. So I look at that in more in-depth in my column this week. Like I said, there's plenty of reading. We're going to ask our readers to test their knowledge of Carbery GAA. We have the ultimate Carbery GAA quiz in this week's Southern Star. It's a 2-page quiz packed with 100 questions that only the really experts and the know-it-alls of Carbery GAA will know.
The buffins.
I don't think anyone will get 100 here. If you get over 80, you'll be doing brilliant. If you get over 50, I think pat yourself in the back, because it really is quite a testing quiz. John Hayes, the Carbery senior footballer, is a new selector with the Cork senior football team, and that was announced just after Christmas. And it kind of came out of nowhere, to be quite honest with you. Nobody saw it coming. So I actually caught up with John this week for a chat about how this opportunity for him came about.
I have a theory, and my theory is that Ronan McCarthy or the Cork County Board must have been reading John Hayes's brilliant column in the Southern Star over the course of the inter-county season. So I'm going to give all the credit to the Southern Star sports section.
I'll 100% back you up on that, Jack.
And it was an excellent column, we have to say, as well.
It was really good. What I liked about John Hayes' columns was he had great insight into how kind of tactics and how teams had set up and so on. So I was just talking to him about what his role will be with the Cork senior football team, what he hopes to bring to that setup. So it's quite a good read. It's a very interesting read. As well as that, Ronan Hurley signed a new deal with Cork City, our former West Cork Schoolboys League graduate. So we have an interview with him. John McCarthy is a very good piece with Orla DC from, she's a young woman from Clannachilty who was part of the Clannachilty ladies football team that won the intermediate title last year. She was also with the Cork City under-17s that won the National League title on December 23rd. So she is a dual star with a difference. Dennis Hurley's column this week is very good as well. And as usual, to be fair to Dennis, because he's looking at the expected link-up of Sports Direct as Cork GA's new sponsor. So good stuff from Dennis Hurley and that. We're also an interview with Kilmacobby manager Kevin O'Driscoll. We've Jack Crowley's debut with Munster and so on. So plenty of very good reading in this week's Southern Star Sports section.
And obviously with the new COVID-19 lockdown restrictions, people may struggle to get out to the shops this week, but don't fret if you can't make it to your local shop to purchase a copy of the Southern Star, because you can also purchase it online and subscribe to the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper or call the office on 028 212 00, and we'll be able to organise a postal copy be sent out to you. So do not worry, you will not miss the Southern Star despite the new COVID restrictions. We'll make sure you get your copy to your door or to your computer, tablet or smartphone. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tamall.